from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, Nigel was just thrown a curveball. It's like, let's just talk about ChatGPT. So it's like, okay, well, let's do that. So this is definitely more off the cuff than normal, I think, because I've read a little bit and I have to admit, I don't know the proper ins and outs of this bit of AI engine, but what I have seen and are reading is that it's got, you know, a lot of application. It's open source, so anyone can use it. And it really does show that AI is continuing to kind of challenge a lot of the foundations, especially in learning and education, that we have come to rely on. So Nigel, I'll let you shoot first, just because you might know more about this than me.
I always think these statements are very debatable, Martin. I wrote a post for Training Zone about my prediction for the year. And one of the things I said was that we're getting this hysteria about this chatbot, about open AI. And my prediction of the year was that at the end of the year, it will not be either the revolutionary solution to every kind of education or learning problem or writing issue, nor will it be the devil incarnate destroying people's brains and undermining the whole fabric of society, which is basically how it's been built. You know, it's just ridiculous. I can't bear these hysterical over promotions or over damnations. The truth is that to me, it slots in quite neatly in a whole bunch of technologies that have come through. And ever since ever since technology, we've predicted that they would transform and revolutionize. And in my own lifetime, you know, things like educational television was going to do away with teachers. And then the electronic whiteboard was going to completely create the most amazing interactive learning experience in the classroom and the training room. And all of them proved they have their uses, but none of them proved revolutionary. Neither did any of them prove to be the devil incarnate. And I think this is the same, although it is kind of awe-inspiring. Now, to prepare for this session, I asked the OpenAI to generate images of two dogs in the style of Van Gogh. So they're not pulling them off the web. They generated 8 images, which are extraordinary, in the style of Van Gogh. And you'd look at them and say, that's Van Gogh painting two dogs. And you think, that is amazing. You know, the analysis that has to go on to know what Van Gogh's style meant. What do two dogs look like? How could two dogs interact with the environment? And I read a blog post earlier this evening, which was written entirely in this chatbot. And the guy said, for the first time as a writer, I took 2 minutes to produce this column, and it's pretty good. And it was. It's pretty good. It's not stunning, and that it's you can spot some of the kind of clumsinesses and the transitions. But basically, to say to a blank sheet, generate 800 words mentioning Martin Cousins, a joke about zebras and the meaning of life, and it will go away and produce something that is passable. And there are all sorts of story. And how will we know when people, students, kids in school have simply gone to the chatbot and they haven't, OpenAI, they haven't actually done it themselves? And I think the answer is that we would develop ways in which we can tell, and or the text can be analyzed, or there's an agreement that all these devices put a watermark in the file that says this was generated by AI rather than by human beings. So I'm, you know, basically my philosophy is that yes, I think it's fascinating, and for the moment it's very compelling, but it's not going to change everything. Neither is it going to destroy everything. And that's my prediction for the year. And Martin, we can come back and you can say how wrong you were. and I'll be humiliated and I'll have to eat humble pie. But it is, everyone should check it out because it's so fascinating. But please don't get hysterical about it. It's just a piece of software and it just does some smart things and works out a whole bunch of stuff that we're in awe of. But that's just AI. And I'm sure there'll be even more powerful and interesting pieces of AI to come, but we can handle it, Martin. We can handle this, and we can slot it in quite neatly into our world. Just that if you picked up an iPhone 14, if you someone had given me an iPhone 14 in 2007 when the iPhone first came out, I would be falling over in awe and say, we can't possibly live in this kind of world where everything is connected. Of course we can. We adapt, and I think we'll adapt to this. That's basically that simple. Very simple and possibly extraordinarily naive point. What do you think?
I think that's a very, very positive reflection on it. I mean, from my perspective, I've got 3,000-word assignments for my coaching qualification, and I know that I could try it out. I don't have to tell anyone, although the people who are assessing me might be listening. I could, you know, I can ask Chat GPT to write those for me. It will probably do a passable job at that and take a couple of minutes to do it. I might be able to just review it and, you know, use it as a first draft, or I might just be able to use it straight off. And I pass my qualification. And what does that mean? What exactly does that mean for me?
Yeah.
For the idea of being qualified in something, the idea of assessment. I would love to think it's not a big deal in the way that you've just outlined. But for me, I think it's a massive deal in terms of what does it mean for us, in terms, especially in learning education, because my kids can start writing. Why would you go to university to write essays that your AI can write for you? You haven't learned anything. You just get it to write it. And it's only going to be assessed by the same AI, because that's going to cut the time down. So we're kind of deluding ourselves, I think, massively about what need there is for a human being in any of that process, which, if that is the case, my question is, what are we here for? That is basically... That's moral fundamentally and ethical and philosophical dilemma, and that's what we've created. And so we can be excited. I think it's fantastic. I think it's absolutely brilliant. But what about humans as a result of that? I mean, that's fine. Well, I just don't think. I think we're basically solving lots of human things. Yeah. I think humans are essential, especially when it comes to writing. The web is full of really low grade content, so it's not going to take much for an AI to do a better job.
No, it's true.
Humans are lazy, so we only look at what's first on Google's home screen, and we take it. We accept all of this stuff.
But so, Martin, I think we have grappled with this. We have grappled with this. What is the difference between you saying, I'll get my friend Bill, I'll pay him 50 quid and he can write that assignment for me? That's been going on since time immemorial, and we don't know the degree of it, and we don't know how it's controlled. Well, we've got things, they've invented things like Turnitin to monitor the content and register it. And I think it's not one big leap for Turnitin to spot AI bots. And it's not a big deal to say to Martin Cousins, at the front of your assignment, you sign here that this is your work and not the work of an AI, and that if you breach that, if you're lying, then you immediately.
That's not where our focus is. Like, academia, learning, education's asleep at the wheel. Everyone's building the stuff to solve the problem of getting your essays done and getting it assessed without any human having to look at it. So everything that we're talking about there is retrograde, and there's no, what's the motivation to do that exactly? To sort of save ourselves from the AI? I'm unsure that we're going to see really, really good developments in that area when all the focus is on, oh, we could just do this. We can paint Van Gogh pictures, you know, that are perfect. Well, and it's not that. It's the other thing.
There's a business opportunity, Martin. Whenever there's a business opportunity, someone will come in. Well, so this is creating business opportunities. Like, who would have bothered with Turnitin? Who would have bothered setting up massive databases that compile thousands, millions of different documents and academic references, and then match them against your humble sentences on a, you know, an undergraduate assignment, and make that a criteria for assessment? No one would have believed that that is possible. No one could give a damn. But Turnitin is a relatively rich organization that is never going to go away. You know, they are going to get bigger and better. And they do smart things. And they use
that.
So you'll be having AI tracking down AI. You watch. It's going to be more complex.
Realistically, you know, I've made, you know, my business and my professional career has been around content, right? So for me, I look at it and just go, so what is the point? You know, you might as well just get that AI. There's no need for me. Absolutely none. So actually, it's like, well, okay, so what are the things that we do need humans to do? Hmm. What is the point of education? Why would you do it? Because I think the flip side of this is brain activity is obviously really important, because we learn from the minute we're born. But if we're going to basically offload a lot of what we need to learn to AIs, then what becomes of us? That's all I'm interested in. I think it's great, the technology, but what
it is great, Martin.
What's left?
When Wikipedia came out, when the World Wide Web came out, people said exactly the same. What is the point of me learning anything when I can just put it in my phone and I can get the answer? And that's true. That's true. But there's very good reasons for developing your brain. The fact that you can get
but
it.
This is. But it is an order of magnitude greater,
it is.
I think.
It
it's
is.
Not.
But
I,
that's
I don't,
why
we
will
I,
go
I,
an order
I,
of magnitude
I
greater in rationalizing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Moving
I've lived through all that too. And I, you know, Wikipedia and all that just didn't bother me. What bothers me is that the AI writes the code to build the machines, right? So it does everything.
Yes.
All I'm asking is, what is the need for a human being in some of the things that the AI
to do higher level stuff?
Doing.
Go way beyond that. Just
so, well, yeah, but what
it's
is
all
that?
Age driven.
That's what
when Wikipedia
what
came
is
out,
that?
People went crazy. Older people went apoplectic in universities and everywhere, saying it's got to be banned. We've got to stop it. It's not allowed. You can't reference it. And now it's part of our life. And I think exactly the same. We can go apoplectic. We can say this is absolutely shocking, but we'll manage it. It will become part of our life. And it will be life enhancing,
not
life detracting, I think. And you will still have a role in the world, Martin, a big role in the world.
But I'm not, but also, I'm not shocked by it.
No.
And that's the thing. What I'm doing is asking the question of what becomes of human beings in these processes that will just become farmed out, and increasingly are being farmed out to AI. I don't think learning and development teams might not need to exist. Anything policy driven like HR, does it need to be in the organization? Because you can ask, as an employee, you can ask what you need to know. You'll get the answer immediately.
I totally agree.
Based on
That's
employment law
stuff.
And everything.
Tactical stuff. Yeah,
so
totally.
It's like, you know,
there's
that,
a whole range
that,
of,
I just
there's
think,
a whole world out there beyond that.
It's
the whole world beyond that, and that's where we need to go. We need to aim higher, and I think that I think that will create more meaningful jobs, more interesting world. When all the kind of detritus and the boring tactical stuff is being managed by someone else or some other entity. Anyway, we should probably leave it there, Martin. That's an interesting debate. Who will be right? Who will
and
be
I
wrong?
Like that. No, I don't think. I don't see it as a right or wrong, and I like what you said signing off. I think the idea that we could actually get to better lifestyles and working and happier and a better climate and blah, you know, all of that. I love the idea of that, and I hope that that could be the case. So let's see. But that was quite a good little debate, wasn't it? So off the cuff, and look what happened. Wow.
Indeed.
So it's gone a bit longer than it should have done, but I hope it sparked some interest in any listener that's managed to get to the end of it.
I hope so too, Martin. I hope so too. We'll see what happens. It will evolve. That's
We
guaranteed.
will indeed. All right, so
Nice
let's
to
create
talk.
this podcast episode by the AI for the next episode and see
Excellent
what people
idea.
think. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
From scratch.